Welcome, everyone, to the October 18th, 2024 edition of the Zuchin Wild podcast. We got a great show today to get into. Ole Miss, Oregon, Ohio State, just a great weekend of college football. And we got another great weekend coming up this weekend. Some great SEC games. Zuch, before we get into your Ole Miss meltdown, because that's what we're going to start the show with, Zuch, Ole Miss fan, one of the top games last week, did not end in his favor. Want to remind everyone that that code ZNW15 can still be used for 15% off all merch at the Settle Down store. So please use that. The weekend of great college football lived up to the hype. We're going to start. Zuch doesn't even know. Ole Piss, question mark. Zuch, the floor is yours to start the conversation recapping the Ole Miss LSU game.
I would have started with, what did I say last week that if they avoided, they would win?
What did you say last week? A stupid penalty? Like turn
if you don't turn the ball over in the red zone. Actually, they did okay on third downs. I think they're like 50%, but somehow they had like 22 third downs, which is kind of nuts when you think about it. But it basically said, don't make stupid mistakes and you should win. And in the first three drives, they dropped the touchdown pass, missed a field goal, and didn't convert on a fourth and one.
I felt the same way watching that game. I mean, back and forth. And I know no team wants to hear this, but Ole Miss looked like they probably beat LSU 6 out of 10 times. Like if that game was played in the series, Ole Miss comes back, but this is football, baby. And credit Garrett Nussmeier. He won.
I mean, legitimately on the group chat, I said, oh, here we go. Another third and long, and they didn't get it. It's twice they've lost. It's not funny. It's kind of annoying. But they've literally both losses. They had the opponent on a 4th and 7 inside their own 20-yard line and let them convert both times. But, I mean,
it's not good.
There's not, like, anything to – like, yeah, I was annoyed. But there's not anything to be mad about because you did it to yourself again. It's not like – I don't know. It's not like LSU came out and won 55-7 and you're like, oh, well, They're not even good. They probably should have won again. Like you can't drop a touchdown. I mean, legitimately first series of the game, like second or third play, Trey Harris, who is, I mean, I think maybe I'm biased, but probably the best receiver in football.
Hits him. Yeah, I'd say it's a little biased. I think I'd put my foot down and say that's a little biased. Yeah, but okay. Very top good. Nonetheless. And
So
I have
shouldn't drop
him still. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Shouldn't probably drop a wide open touchdown pass, but it happens. And the Mets are down 4-0.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, we are recording this in game 3 of the NLCS. So we have a friend who's a Mets fan. If there's Mets interjections in here, just know that it's because Zuch is looking straight at his phone to see what the reaction's going to be. But the Ole Miss game, the only thing you're worried about if you're Ole Miss, because I do agree this was just a back-and-forth game, credit to LSU, is it's becoming Lane Kiffin's M.O. now. Where it's
that's
like,
the
he's
bigger
the
thing.
King. He's the king of the very good team. Like,
yeah, and it's
team. He's the king of the very good team in his time at Ole Miss. And it's this weird thing that I'll let you talk, but it's interesting because you said before the year, like before the expanded playoff, Ole Miss was happy with 9 wins, squeeze into the Peach Bowl, squeeze into the Sugar Bowl, win it. That's the best season that Ole Miss has. Now with the playoff, and you have Lane Kiffin, and you have one of the top NIL budgets, and you have talent. It's like a school that used to be satisfied with this. Their expectations are now raised to somewhere where they've never haven't even been in 60, 70 years.
Yeah, and you start the preseason number 6, and you can't, like, I'm not, like, one of the people who's like, oh, like, go to Florida, all that. That, to me, is kind of stupid to sit there and say, like.
Online is going, PC. There are some. Yeah. There have been very rude things said on the message board.
Well,
let's just say that the Oxford message board is going crazy.
Yeah, and you have to take it a little bit. Like, I'm not happy with it or whatever because I think they should be undefeated. I don't think they should have lost either of those games. So I do think there is some criticism warranted. I don't think it should be directed like Jackson Dart. I mean, the dude gets hit 50 times a game. He seems like a pretty tough dude to me. Like,
I mean, you have to be tough when you do an Anakin Skywalker impression after the game.
He was so sad after that. But I mean, I don't know. We'll see. Like, Shohei Ohtani just got hit right in the nuts.
Shohei just got hit.
But I think there's still some overreaction to it. Like, to me, the proper reaction should be you deserve to lose because of what you did in the first quarter. You should have been up 17-0. You shouldn't, like, the defense played, I thought, pretty well. Like, you know, Nussmeier's going to make some plays. Like, you're not just going to go the whole game and he's not going to, like, I understand LSU has been quote unquote down, but there still have been, like, since Brian Kelly got there, like a 3-loss team. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
LSU is still a very good football program. The Kentucky one is probably a bad loss because they just lost to Vanderbilt. But
Vanderbilt, like, could be a good loss. Vanderbilt could be good this year. That's the SEC. You know, when Saban leaves, everyone wanted to anoint Kirby. I mean, besides Texas, but like it's just it's their first year through improvement. It's created like almost this power vacuum in the SEC. I feel like in LSU. Go for it.
Well, you don't, like, now their back is super against the wall. Like, they basically would have to win out. I think if they won out, they would be in the playoff. I don't see them at 10-2, not because, and it's not because, like, I think that people would look and be like, oh, they're better than whoever, like 10-2 Arizona State or whoever it could be. But there's, so many teams already have one loss now. Like, everybody in the top 10 has a loss except for
Texas
and Oregon. And Texas still, I'll talk about it later, they still have Georgia. They still have A&M.
And Oregon's had a couple real close calls with some good teams.
So it's not, you like have to win that Georgia game. Like, we'll see what happens with like Oklahoma and Arkansas. But like, LSU plays Arkansas this week. LSU could lose that
That'll
game,
or
Arkansas could be horrible. So I don't think people should.
Although LSU versus Arkansas.
I understand the frustration. Go ahead.
The Josh Pate AI meme tweet. Very close to the left.
That was so funny. But for the first, 24 hours or whatever, I was kind of annoyed. Because I'm like, you got to be kidding. Like, and I knew going in overtime that LSU was probably going to win. Like, they just had too much momentum at that point. It felt like I was like, well, here we go again. But I don't think that if they lost to, you know, that you sent that one tweet that said if they like, it would be worse to me if they lost to Arkansas and then beat Georgia. Like, obviously, like, you know, Georgia, honest to God, that game's in November. So
yeah.
If they were to beat Georgia, there's a very strong chance. I mean, if Georgia wins Saturday, which, I mean, a lot of people don't think they are for whatever. I think that is the perfect game for Georgia to win because Kirby Smart has the
back against the wall. It's back against the wall, Kirby. Kirby is not front-running Kirby. Kirby has got to have his back against the wall. He's just got to get super sick with it. You know, the hair has to be extra floppy on the visor.
And
this is how this game
Georgia could be number one. And if Ole Miss were to win out and somehow they beat Georgia, they'll probably be in. Now, it could go the other way. And since you have all these transfers and stuff, you just lose control and they're 7-5. But we'll see. I don't think there's the people who are acting like they suck are stupid to me. I'll just say that. Like, I don't think they suck. They have 2 losses on the last play of the game. It's not the end of the world. I guess you could say they shouldn't have been number 6 in the preseason, but I don't know who else you would have put. It's a preseason poll, so like it's based on it's based on the stuff that you are the reason you rank people in the preseason poll. Like, nobody would have had BYU. What are they, like 11 or 12 now? No one would have had them at 12 in the 11. So it's a stupid comment to me to be like, oh,
yeah, I don't even look at the polls until the first college football playoff ranking, which is coming out the same day as the election. They knew what they that were doing because they are not expecting us college football fans to get angry at it because they think we're going to be focused on the election. No, not me, not this guy.
If for some reason they called Georgia like one way or the other, and then Georgia comes out as like ranked 3 and they are like whatever in 1, January 6th might look like a, you know, school field trip. When things are done, we've got to tread carefully. They need to get in contact with these with CNN and Fox News and be like, hey, you know what, like, we need to space this out, like, just stay too close to the call for a couple hours, let people vent for a little bit on Twitter, and then get back to the show. That's how they need to play it. But last thing on Ole Miss, just keep playing out the season, see how it works out. You could still do some pretty good things, but you can't lose again. Otherwise, you will be a big disappointment in a lot of people's eyes. Oh,
I agree. Election year and CFB selection committee rankings drop. Dangerous in the same year. But another thing that's dangerous, the Oregon Ducks are looking dangerous. They look good. And what was awesome about this game was if you had to look up a picture or a video dictionary and said, what's a college football game? This was it. It had explosive plays on offense. It had old guys making plays. It had young guys making plays. It had coaches. It had two big brands. It had, you know, the perfect 4:30 West Coast, 7:30 East Coast start time. It had a dude spit in someone else's face and get ejected. Like, this game had it all, and it ended in the perfect college way, which is why I love college football, and that's someone making a dumb mistake or a couple of dumb mistakes that lead to a loss. And I want to ask this question, that we know Oregon won. We know they look good. Oregon probably is the top team in the Big Ten now. Actually, not probably, definitely is the top team in the Big Ten now. I know Penn State fans will make an argument, but nope, not listening to that after you almost blew it to USC. But Ryan Day now, I think, is 2-6 versus the top 5. And you could say it's top 5 teams. How close is he to the hot seat, or is he on the hot seat yet? I don't think it's yet, but it's like we talked about it last week. It's like every game in its singularity. Like, if you look at it, you can make an excuse for like, oh man, tough game. But when you look at it as a whole, it's like, man, he has 8 tough games. That's a trend.
And like, we joked a little bit earlier about like the people saying with Lane Kiffin, like, go to Florida or whatever. That's like a little bit ridiculous. With Ryan Day, they are legit. Like, I don't know that he would be back if they don't. They're, you have to, like,
it almost, Michigan. I don't think
you, like, if Lane Kiffin goes 9-3, there's zero shot he would get fired based on like on the field, like, zero shot. That's not going to happen. If Ohio State goes 9-3, they might not say fired, but I don't know that Ryan Day would come back, because that is a place where you, I mean, maybe Alabama and Georgia and Texas get a little bit more, like, in terms of facilities and stuff like that, but I don't even know if they get more than Ohio. Like, Ohio State
is... There's not a team that's not there is not a team that's not located in the southern part of the United States that gets more resources than Ohio State.
Yeah, and it's like, you can't – he has not won any – that's the thing there. It's not I'm trying to think of someone. Like, I'm trying to think of a coach who, like, won a title and then it, like, things turned, like, sour, but not super – like Jimbo Fisher, I guess, for example, at Florida
State.
Jimbo
Fisher, like, Coach O. Coach O's another recent example.
Yeah, and, like, they – like – I guess Jimbo Fisher had the one losing season. Coach O had all that other stuff. Like, I guess they didn't really like his culture and all the rumors about like him running around with the like co-eds and stuff. But
yeah,
like, Ryan Day cannot go 9-3 I understand, like, Ole Miss had, you know, playoff expectations. Ohio State and Texas and Georgia were the consensus, like, oh, you need to win the national championship. Kirby Smart has, what, three? He's not going anywhere, even if they lost three games this year. Sark, going into the next year, if they lost three games, I think would it would be like a, hey, man, like, fix this. Like, we were supposed to win it. Ryan Day is, like you said, had a history of 10-2, 11-1, but keeps losing to Michigan. I don't know that they will this year. Or if they beat Michigan, losing in the playoff. So, like, even, I don't know. I will say, though, with that game, who in the hell did they get to commentate that game? Because it sounded like
it was the NBC guy. It was the NBC guys. It was, oh my gosh, who does the NBC? It's, is it Brady Quinn? Or is he on Fox now?
He's on Fox. He's on the Big Ten. Yeah. I can't think of who it was, but even it was so bad, even my mom, because I was at my parents watching the Ole Miss game, she was like, well, this game seems boring. And she's from Michigan. And
oh, my gosh.
She hates Ohio.
Look at – so it's Ahmad Farid, remember him, and Michael Robinson, the old fullback for the Seahawks. Remember him?
Okay. Yes. It is – and, like, I don't know if they were, like, like tampering down the crowd noise, but it was hard going from, like, the Ole Miss game to that because – and I get it's Death Valley or whatever, but it felt like the Ole Miss LSU game felt like a bigger game because of the – and, like I said, I think they had to have been doing something to the crowd noise because, like, it
I don't know.
Was so it was quiet interesting putting on that
Oregon because when game. I was listening to some – I remember because this is the same crew that did the Boise game. Obviously, I didn't listen because I was there in person, but when I rewatched the highlights, it's almost like – they were more into it for that game. Or was that, like, a separate crew that, like, the Peacock crew? Because, like,
it was
when they called Boise Oregon, it was the complete opposite. Now, maybe, I don't know, I think it was the same crew. People can correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe it's a little, like, aughts and fatigue. Like, oh, man, I was already here. Like, this is, like, nothing. But still, that was easily the best game of the year so far. And, you know, Oregon, flipping to the Oregon side, they keep squeaking out wins. Dan Lanning gets another kind of like checkbox win. You know, he finally got the New Year's Six last year in the Fiesta Bowl. And this is kind of another step for Dan Lanning, who a lot of people say is ascending into that echelon of coaching. But I think if Dan Lanning continues to ascend, I think he needs to establish a conference championship. And then he goes from there. But it's just continuing these steps to become one of the greats if he keeps on this path.
It's what makes college football so good because 3-4 weeks ago, whatever it was, when they struggled with Idaho, struggled with Boise State, everyone was like, oh, you know what? They
yep.
Oregon's not good. They're like, they're just not good. Like, you're gonna tell me this team is gonna beat Ohio State. And that's what kind of annoys me about a lot of media nowadays is you don't need 4.5 hours to break down a game. You like with the Ole Miss game, you could break it down in the 5 or 10 minutes, whatever it took us. Like, they played like they made stupid mistakes. That's why they lost. Ohio State probably lost because for some reason, Will Howard decided to slide. And because, and anyone who complains about this is a level A dork. Anyone who complains about them doing the 12 men on the field thing, don't watch football anymore. Like,
no, I also wholeheartedly agree. And luckily those people are far and few in between. But it's like, why would you get mad at and look, I'm not gonna lie, I've seen like 5 people on Twitter say that out of the thousands I interact with. Those 5 people need to revoke. Yeah, most of them were Ohio State fans. But those people need to reevaluate their love of football and their relationship. Dude, have fun. Like, it's a smart play. Like, you can't penalize them for getting, like, for using a rule. Like, remember when Belichick did that or Vrabel used to do that with the punts and it forced the NFL to change the punt? It's like, they're actually doing them a favor because they're exposing a bad rule. Like, yeah, it does suck that they kind of just had like a wasted play, but it's like, you know, They were doing not what my fault. The rule book.
Your
yeah.
job as a coach is to know that stuff or have someone on your staff.
And that's another thing with that. The Ryan Day.
And to the guy who said that it's the worst thing he's ever seen in college football, buddy, Penn State was raping children. Okay. It's not even close to the worst thing that's ever happened in college football. Penn State having children raped in a locker room. There have been Florida was just like balls off the wall, balls to the wall, going crazy in Gainesville. It is a smart play. And Dan Lanning, obviously, he is a pretty good coach because I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, I had no clue
yeah,
that was
it's,
a thing. I was like, oh, that was kind of smart, you know? Like,
yeah, to the people
the reason it was smart is because now college football has changed it. Like, a midweek change. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, you can't do that anymore because you played the system, kind of like you found a way around it.
Yeah, I saw the tweet of the guy who you were talking about, and yeah, to say it's one of the worst, it's like this is a sport that, you know, people have, I mean, in collegiate sports just last year, like we had a New Mexico State player. I know it's basketball, but it's a New Mexico State player shot at a rival player. Like literally, like, and that's what you say the worst thing is? Like holy moly. And even if you're in like the same realm of like that's not fair, we literally saw a team win the national championship last year with confirmed cheating. So it's beyond me. Also, Connor Stallion's on the podcast train, so he's just kind of blabbering nothing, not listening to a single thing that ass has to say, Connor Stallions. But checking in with the other games, not much to say about the Red River rivalry. I was actually hoping to talk to like more about it, but I have really nothing to say. Like just an ass whooping. And the Sooners, in the words of Cody Voisin, that offense doesn't look ready for the SEC.
There's a lot of teams, and that's what I was kind of alluding to earlier. Ole Miss isn't in that bad of a spot. They're not in what Oklahoma is. They're not in what I don't know what in God's name Billy Napier. Florida should have beat Tennessee. That was like some of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life.
That's the first time I've ever seen a coach get iced. That is the first time I've ever seen a coach get iced because Tennessee called the timeout and then Billy Napier was like, okay, I guess we'll kick it. Like a coach got iced.
No, it's that one was bad. We almost had a complete if South Carolina had gone down the field and scored against Alabama after getting that onside kick, we might have had like a picture of like Kalen DeBoer's family like bounding gag saying like leave Tuscaloosa now if you want to see your family, because
it definitely would have been it definitely would have been like a address leaked kind of loss, like bad.
What? And it's kind of making me like, it's so weird because I'm like, it's like I don't know with this season that like I don't, first off, you have to be what 17-0 or whatever it is to win the national title and go undefeated. I don't think we're even going to get – I honestly am starting to think that the winner of the national title might have two losses because
– it could get crazy.
There have been two – like, all of these teams who are considered, like, national title caliber, with the exception of Texas, have had some very, very close – either they have a loss or they've had some close losses. Like, Georgia has. Oregon has. Alabama definitely has. Ohio State already has a lot, like, you know, and I'm not saying Ohio State's going to go out and lose to like Illinois or whoever, but I'm not even so sure that whoever, like, I think the loser of some of these conference championship games might end up being in the national title because I just have not seen somebody who looks far and away better. I guess you could say Ohio State would have won if it was in Columbus. Like, okay, well, you're going to get one playoff game in Columbus. The rest are going to be, if you make the playoff, neutral site games. So, and your corners kind of got shredded. So you better hope that.
That's what we said. We said that during last week. We said the DBs, that loaded, so-called loaded secondary, I guess they maybe got exposed. Maybe that's not their true colors, but they said that they had to prove, make Dylan Gabriel prove himself. And Dylan Gabriel showed up. Why he keeps getting these big NIL deals, why he was a Heisman front runner. He's kind of pushed himself back into that Heisman top five after that performance. But yeah, great week of college football. I mean, Lincoln Riley meltdown, touch on that quick.
The Cowherd video.
Yeah, that it is the Cowherd tweet. So was he playing a character? Like, or was he like trying to come off as just like, I don't want to use this word lightly, but like trying to come off as like a prick?
I think he tries to be like California cool. And it just
that's
comes
not
off
as like, I live in LA. I've grown up in California my whole life. That's someone like cosplaying as California cool.
That's what I'm saying. It's almost like he can't like, and one of my favorite sports like talk people of all time is Jim Rome. And you definitely know he's from California, like just like some of the stuff he says and all that kind of stuff. Like, you know, he's like a California guy, but it's like Colin Cowherd does like you said, like what an SNL character of like a California like sports fan.
He literally does like an SNL like character of like, it's just like pick any like affluent suburb of LA County or Alameda County or Sacramento County. Like, it's just like that's.
And his one of his problems too, and we're getting kind of off track. He is not a big college football fan, which is fine. And I know this because I think I sent it to you a couple weeks ago, maybe a little longer, but he has Joe Klatt on, who I love Joe Klatt.
Oh,
like, I think he's
Joe Klatt great. Hates his guts. You could tell like they're friends outside, but you could tell Joe Klatt has to keep it PG on his show a lot of the time.
Well, he said something like, I think Tennessee is the best team in football, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. And immediately
he
Joe
goes,
you're
wrong.
And they like lost. Yes. I think it was the week they lost to Arkansas. So it's like, that was weird. But I mean, also, why in God's name does USC let just anybody pay to run out of the tunnel? Did you see that?
Dude, yes, I saw that. The guy running on the field. Apparently, it only costs like $1,500. I say only, like, but if you making six figures a year, like you said, there's no vetting process. Like, it's just like a, like, paying for a hotel room, you book it. Because the second I would have seen that guy, I would have been, hey, or like put in the binding thing that you sign to go on. It's like, hey, only USC gear, like nothing else. But like that guy, that freak ran out on the field just yelling, "We are," in a tank top, dude. Like, what? It's not 2011, you tool.
It was not a good look for the Trojans. Another blown lead. 3-3 now. Probably not making the playoff. No. But I mean, they're another one. It's like these close games. You're just like, you have to be frustrated as a USC fan. The brisket man just, he
brisket
what,
man,
8-13 or something? 5-8 in his last 13 games?
It's not looking good. I saw that stat. I mean, we'll talk later in the year about hot seat coaches, probably right before the last week, maybe give our coaching firing predictions. So that'll be a fun thing for you guys to look forward to, something I'm looking forward to. All right. That was a lot to talk about. That was one of our longer talking about the games just because they were so good this year.
They were great.
That was just – so, yeah, we're going to move on to the weekly segment, The List, where we find tweets and other social media postings. Yes, social media postings. And just say that now, while these are funny, why don't we tone it back a little bit? Because they have been added to the list, and the people who post these need to be added to a federal watch list because they just need to stop. That's all I will say. I think, did you go first last week? Because I only have two that I found, and they actually might be fun. I think they might be some of yours. So the first one comes from at Cooked by Kane, Blue Kane's burner on Twitter. And he quote tweeted, and Hannah Cavender, so one of the Cavender twins, famous on TikTok, dating Carson Beck at Georgia. And she posted a cute picture of him, her and him, after the game on Twitter. The caption says, QB is a QT. And it's just a very cordial picture of this couple, you know, two young, famous athletes. And at Cooked by King quote tweets it and says, get away from him, whore. It's SEC ball, man. You just cannot do it. Now that one was bad, but you know that's expected. You know she gets a lot of hate. It's just bad. This next one was absolutely unreal, and it's in the conversation of list of the year by @Fetical9 and 3. It says how it feels to watch a Neil Brown coached football team, and it's a video of a leaked fraternity pledge hazing of someone throwing up all over two kids. I was dumbfounded that this was allowed on that app. Like I seriously thought it was going to be deleted, and I checked right before this, still up, the tweet's still up. At Fetical needs his account banned for that tweet. Hilarious, but banned.
Okay, some have quite a few. Podcast might go 10 minutes long this week because I have quite a few. Okay, first one was @KylerWinfrey25, who has a picture of Kalen DeBoer looking in a mirror, and inside the mirror is Brian Harsin. It appears he's an Auburn fan. Needs to stop. Okay, that is one of them.
Oh my god.
Next up is Not Fear the Wave, who Jackson Dart after the game was upset, another 3-point loss, had his hoodie on, and he said, "Do not let this man near the Jedi Temple." Tulane is now on the list. Let me pull up the last couple I got. We'd already did the one about the Cavender twin. Oh no, where'd it go? Okay, this was a late edition.
Oh yes, we had a late edition.
A late edition, from Callie Ferocious. He said, "Hey, Lane Kiffin is out recruiting somewhere in Mississippi." He said, "Hey, Lane, stop by Madison, Mississippi," which I've been there multiple times, "and be sure Charlie and Kevin come with you." The Charlie Weiss Jr., the Ole Miss OC, and Kevin Smith, their running backs coach. Nothing will happen to them. You are just, you know, you're not saying, like, you're teetering the First Amendment line there.
That is it.
And number one, without a doubt, and he should never, ever, ever be allowed south of the Mason-Dixon line because of this, ever, period. I almost had to block him because he's already annoying. Charlie Kirk went to the Oregon game. I don't know if everyone knows who Charlie Kirk is.
Saw this.
He's a political commentator. This dork wore earplugs to a college football game.
Saw that.
And the worst part, he reposted it, and edited him out because he knows he looked like
that's incredible. And first of all, you're totally right. Earplugs at the college football game, like, what are you, like Drew Brees' kid in the Super Bowl? Like, those are for babies. Those are for absolute babies, like wearing earmuffs at a college game. Secondly, don't care where you stand politically. Charlie Kirk, obviously, more on the conservative side. You do not be surprised if this pisses off his fan base. Because you cannot wear... Try that at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Try that at Kyle Field. And, you know, that's a lot. That's like his... That's supposed to be his ballpark, right? I agree. He's a goober for that. That is the big... It's incredible that's the biggest thing I think that Charlie Kirk has done that makes him look like the biggest goober. And there's a lot, but earplugs and Inotson, shame. Shame. Yeah, shame.
Any college, like I said, not allowed past the Mason-Dixon line. There needs to be some sort of border security keeping Charlie Kirk out of... He should just not be allowed to go to an SEC game because...
Is there anything he can do to make it up? Is there anything to do to make it up? Does he have to... Okay, I have a proposition for him. I think he needs to sit the rest of this year out of college football. He can watch on the TV. I think he has to spend an entire season sitting right next to the Vandy Whistler for SEC baseball. Yes. And that, and then he can earn his way back, I think, for next year. Is that a fair, is that a fair punishment?
I'll consider
the crime?
It. As of right now, he has, I mean, I didn't
he's
like,
banned.
Follow him or anything. Yeah, he is banned. Like, I just saw that. The reason I saw it is because a South Carolina Gamecocks fan quote tweeted and said, earplugs at the college football game, pussy. That's what they said. So he is, you know, you can do a lot of stuff and like people will like stand behind you. I and this is why I love it. This is why I love the South. It is like Jesus, family, and college football are very, and food, very, very important. And if you wear, like, it's sacrilegious to wear earplugs to a college football game unless you are a newborn child. And this man is, yes, like 30-something years old. And, like, I mean, I just can't even understand it. Like, I would just, like, if I was at that game and I saw him, and even if I didn't know who he was, I'd be like, is that dude really wearing earplugs, like, at this game?
No,
right,
no,
now?
I would assume there would be something, like, medically wrong. Like, that, like, I, my brain would immediately go, like, oh, medical, like, procedure. Like, because I couldn't fathom a grown man doing that. Like, I seriously couldn't. Like, I'm speechless. I'm speechless. But yeah, total dork move on his part for that. That was a great list segment. That's up there with one of the best ones of the year. That's a good one. Like I said, there will be some good ones. And let's just say, week of the election, we might have to tame the list down, or maybe we'll have to have a list show, because that one will not be good, but it will be good. All right, let's move on to the games that are going to be on tomorrow. This is, if you love SEC, this is your weekend. Talking about the two big SEC games, Tennessee versus Alabama, Texas, Georgia. Going to start with Tennessee, Bama. Is this, or could this be, a playoff, not eliminator, but a playoff, maybe stressinator? Because I'm calling this game kind of like the Ole Miss LSU, where loser no longer fully controls their own destiny.
Yep, so what you're going to have with this game is neither one of these teams are actually, is Alabama, what are they, 5?
I think they're top 10. Alabama's still top 10.
And where did Tennessee fall to?
I want to say they're just outside the top.
They're 11. So it's 11, yeah. And Alabama is 7. So it's really 11. Isn't that much. Yeah, this isn't that much different than, like you said before, that LSU Ole Miss game. I think it was 9-13. So relatively similar. Losers not out of the playoff. Like we talked about before, there's going to be 2 lost teams in the playoff. Everyone is already starting to lose games. I forgot Penn State's still undefeated. But so your undefeated teams are Texas, Oregon, Penn State, Miami, Iowa State, BYU, and then like Indiana, Pitt.
Don't forget Army, Navy. They'll let you know. Army, the group of 5 bottom dwell. Like I love group of 5 Twitter, but there are some people who like just consume only group of 5 football. It's like, fellas, yeah, like I love some G5 ball myself, but it's like, come on, man. Let's toss in a little SEC maybe every once in a while. Cleanse the palate.
No, exactly. So 4 of those teams have a realistic shot of going undefeated. Like even Penn State and Oregon, somebody has to lose. Like if they both went undefeated, someone has to have a loss. Obviously, with 1 loss, both of them would be in there. But this is one of those games that you win it, your playoff potential goes through the roof. Like Tennessee after this has Kentucky, Mississippi State, Georgia, UTEP, Vandy. So they're only going to be underdogs in one of those games. It would be that at Georgia game. The rest of those, they will be pretty heavy favorites, I would be willing to say. Mm-hmm. Alabama's it's a little bit tougher. They have Missouri, and then they have to go to Death Valley. And then Mercer, Oklahoma, and Auburn. And the Iron Bowl is always, for the most part, a pretty good game. Close game, even if Auburn's not that great. So, with that, all that being said, I think we'll know a lot more about Alabama after this game, because that Tennessee offense has not looked very good the past couple of weeks. Like, Ole Miss has gotten a lot of crap for their offense not looking as good, but the Tennessee offense has been pretty bad the last couple of weeks too. And
look bad. No, Nico's fallen off a little bit, and I think we're starting to finally realize, like, he is super good, but it's like people forget, like, it's tough to play as a redshirt freshman. Like, it really is.
Yeah, I mean, they had 25 against Oklahoma, 19 against or 14 against Arkansas, and 23 against Florida. Now, that being said, if they come out and put up 40 or something like that, then that Alabama defense is very, very bad, because, you know, beginning of the year, they kind of got the Alabama got a little bit of the excuse strain of, like, oh, you know, it's early, like, USF actually looks pretty good, blah, blah, blah. But, I mean, their last 3 weeks, they've given up 34, 40, and 25. That's not going to win you a national championship. I don't even know if that would get you to the playoff, because their offenses look fine, I guess, but they have been mistake-riddled, too, the past couple weeks. I'm leaning towards Alabama winning this game, just because I kind of think that Tennessee, I don't know. I don't. It's at Tennessee, so that makes it, like, a little bit more interesting for Tennessee to win.
That's true.
But, if like, Kalen DeBoer is on this stretch right now, like, if he loses this one.
Yeah. If it becomes tight, then it's like, then as legend from Tuscaloosa would say, strike frickin' two. Like, and you better not get that third. Or
right, and that's why, like, and neither one of them, I'm saying, should just, like, absolutely panic if they lose. Like, it's your second loss. Probably got to win out, I would say. I think, I don't know, there might be a three-loss team who get, like, seriously, at this point, you might have a three-loss team who gets in, because unless people think Indiana's going to go 11-1, there's going to be teams with two losses no matter what. I don't care what anyone says. Army and Navy and Boise State are not going to take three at large spots. It's not going to happen. So,
no. Yeah, we'll see. I also got Bama in this game. I think it's going to be good. I just think I see the trend of Tennessee's offense being average continuing in this game, and this is a game where I don't think their offense can be average. But I'm going to move on to the game. I'm actually personally sorry, Tennessee fans, sorry, Alabama fans. This is the game, one of the biggest games, I think. We were in a reactionary society where legend and legendary and the best and the greatest is just thrown around. This could be one of the best matchups I've ever seen in a regular season college football game.
Oh, it's
in the fact that it's SEC in conference play now, two top five teams, if I'm not mistaken.
I mean, like, I have it pulled up. Yep, Georgia's number five.
So it's a top five matchup. It's Texas's real first big SEC test. It's a coach who's won a national champion. It's two Heisman guys who wanted to be Heisman front runners at the beginning of the year. I am so stoked for this game.
Oh, I can't wait. I want, though, nothing more in my life than for Georgia just to come out and win, like, 38-3. That would make
me
so unbelievably. And I just want, like, first play of the game, like, Carson Beck to do, like, just a bomb to somebody. And then receiver just do horns down right in front of that whole fan base. Because Texas is, you know, they're always kind of annoying, but they're being, like, they're on a different level now because the Cowboys suck. And they have nothing else to look forward to. Like, A&M's a bunch
AC, of weirdos. ACL has just done the music festival, so, you know, they're already coming down, or, like, they're feeling real good, you know. Austin's fired up right now, but, yeah, like you said, it is only, like, Texas has been the only team this year that's been able to grasp that solo kind of, we are in a league of our own, and everyone else is kind of, even though it might be like one step below, like an Oregon or Ohio State, it's like Texas has taken that title by grabbing the bull by the horns this year, literally and figuratively, because, you know, Bevo, we have to keep these two live mascots away. The last time these two teams played, correct me if I'm wrong, there was a murder attempt at Ugga. Bevo tried to kill Ugga.
And that was the same game that, what was his name? Sam Ellinger?
Sam Ellinger said, "We're back." And then they proceeded to suck for like 3 or 4 more years. Yeah.
Exactly. It was in the, you know.
Well, he wasn't wrong. He was just early. He was just early. He was an early investor. Those guys do real well in Silicon Valley, man.
So I actually do think Georgia's going to win this game. I just have this gut feeling that Georgia's going to win this game by like 10 points and kind of just shock Texas. I think people are being a little bit hard on Georgia right now. Yeah, they like had the close game versus Kentucky, but and then they lost to Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, in what world are we acting like a lost Alabama is bad? Like, I get it. Alabama's maybe not what they were under Nick Saban, but it's not losing a night game in Bryant-Denny Stadium is not a bad loss. Mm-hmm. You lost, like, it came down to like one or two plays. Michigan doesn't look good. Texas beat like Mississippi State, ULM, who was apparently 6-1. I had no clue that was a thing. But, you know, Texas hasn't really been truly tested yet. Do you think Oklahoma's good?
I think they're good, but not a test by any of the means. That's a team that I think's not going to be ranked at the end of the year. So
Colorado State has a mechanic coaching their football team. They're not very good. So I'm going to say Texas 31-20.
So you think Texas is going to lose?
Or sorry, lose Georgia 31-20.
I have Georgia in a little bit closer of a game. I think this is another good back and forth. But like we talked about earlier in the show, Kirby Smart back against the wall. This is where he wants to be. This is where he likes to be. He doesn't think Kirby is like we've said, he's the czar of Athens. You know, Kim Jong Kirby. You know, we joke about these things, but you know, when he needs that grit in that adversity, I think, to inspire his players. And I think he's going to use that, but I'm really excited for this game. Any other games that we need to touch on? You know, there's Michigan, Illinois, and it's going to be a Big Ten slugfest. But
I mean, you have that LSU Arkansas game like that. That mm-hmm. could be like I don't know with a lot of these teams. Like, I don't know.
I mean, if Arkansas wins this, they're ranked. And you know, yeah, our guy who we listen to, probably I speak for you on this, Such, cannot recommend Josh Pate enough for people hoping for another college football podcast to listen to. But you know, he has Arkansas ranked in the JP poll.
He also had Ole Miss at like 7 in that thing. That has made me even that reignited my anger because it was a bad weekend and my keys ended up in a dumpster at work and I had to dig through trash and it was a horrible weekend. I was like, I've gone from playoff expectations to having to watch Jackson Dart get compared to Anakin Skywalker and digging in a dumpster for my car seat. So that game I think could be pretty good. SMU has to go to Stanford. They're starting to get a little bit of hype.
And I got a little trap game, Miami at Louisville, early in the morning. That's, I think, 12 o'clock start on the East Coast. So another little trap game for Miami. You know, they've been on that bye coming right in high from the Cal victory. But, yeah, and I mean, those.
My Big 12 game to watch, and I know they're on a 3-game losing streak, is UCF at Iowa State.
Great game.
Like, I know they've lost 3 in a row. Iowa State looks good, but Big 12 is something else.
It's open. And you know us, the chaos fans, the chaos situation is if there is a one or if every team in the Big 12 has a loss or even two losses, does a undefeated or one loss group of five school get the fourth spot, which could just be insane.
It would be.
And I mean, you really get to tell the ball knowledgers and the ball knowers over the non-ball knowers in that, because the people who are like, that's impossible, it's like, nope, you're just feeding the lies that ESPN's feeding you.
Right. Big 12. Big 12, which is, I think it's next, the meme matchup of the week. Mine is a two Big 12 schools.
Here's a few Big 12 schools. All right, then I'm going to let you kick it off. Last part of the show, the big meme matchup of the week. Zuch, kick it off with a Big 12 matchup. This is the first week in a while I think we've had. Did last week we had the same one?
I believe so.
We had different ones because, yeah, mine's not a Big 12 matchup. I'm interested to hear this.
Okay, so this one kicks off Friday night, and it is Ollie Gordon and Mike Gundy having to go to Provo, Utah, which you can't even find a beer in the entire area to play a game.
And it's just, that's good. That is a – oh. Yeah, no, yeah, how is he going to – I feel like Mike Gundy has to have a beer before a game. Mike Gundy. Chili's in Provo. That's your spot.
That's the only spot you can go to, because other than that, there's like a burger place that has like the 50s style. Like, oh, our milkshakes are hand spun. Okay, yeah, so are other 500 different places in every other city.
Provo, yeah,
it's not that impressive.
Yeah, and it's $7.39 for one milkshake.
Right. No, Mike Gundy having to go there. And it would be so funny if, like this is a game that Ollie Gordon just for some reason runs for like 230 yards.
Yes.
For no reason. They're on a 3-game losing streak too.
Well, I think they're Oklahoma State. They're one of these schools that, and I don't know why teams do this. It's just like the old guy quarterbacks that I think we've hit like saturation point. I think it is going to start reverting back to like, you have to play young guys, you know, like this whole portal grabbing.
Especially old guys who have not even been that good. Like Dylan Gabriel has been pretty good his whole career.
Yeah.
Alec Bowman and Cam Rising have been mediocre at best. Like there's no one on planet Earth who's like, oh yeah, like that Cam Rising, like everyone knows his name because he's been there for so long. Not that he's bad or anything like that, but I don't think Cam Rising does like a ton for Utah. Like,
no, I agree. But yeah, that's gonna be a fun one. I didn't even know that game was on a Friday night too. That's funny. So my meme matchup is one that, you know, it was a preseason meme matchup for me. It is the 1-4 Mighty Bruins of UCLA flying across the country to play Rutgers at what will be a 9 a.m. West Coast start time.
That's
so this is just, it'll be an incredible game. This final score, where if you like the overs, this is not going to be the game for you. But yeah, this is another game where I was just fine. You know, UCLA, it's been tougher than even I imagined it could be. And, you know, being here in Southern California, it is like, even USC in their ups and downs, there is still a hype and a buzz, you know. And UCLA fans, you know, they're already not the most passionate, as we've seen, for football in their Rose Bowl attendance. But it's almost like they're in hiding this year. I even know when I go walk on the Strand, it's almost like every other college is represented on Saturdays when I go on my runs and my walks of people representing their alma maters, except for UCLA, which is the closest big university to where I live.
The funniest, and I will miss it so much because everything is different now, but there is nothing funnier than being in Las Vegas for like the Mountain West Championships to go watch Boise State, and you're on the Strip and they would play the Big 12 one in T-Mobile Arena.
The Pac-12?
The Pac-12 in the T-Mobile Arena. And like a game would end and you'd just see like an exodus of like Cal and like UCLA. And like people are just like, you're not going to
get the Arizona Bros. From what you've said, the Arizona Bros just run college basketball championship weekend in Vegas.
They do. You'll see like some Arizona State scattered, like UCLA, I will say to that, travels decently well, but they're like,
there's basketball. They're a basketball
like the funniest sport. Thing I've ever heard somebody say is like Oregon State fans talking to UCLA fans, and the Oregon State fans are like, hey, we're going to go hit these $10 blackjack tables. Do y'all want to come? And the UCLA fans are like, we're going to the $200 tables.
No.
Like, okay. Calm down. Also, before I forget, there is a chance also that Mike Gundy has to coach with an eye patch this weekend. Because he got hit by one of his bulls on his ranch.
If he shows up, eye patch Mike Gundy on a Friday night in Provo, Utah. Oh my gosh, this has to be an Ollie Gordon breakout game.
Yes.
Like I would love that because it's just more chaos for the Big 12 and not the fondest of BYU myself. Exactly. But yeah, great show. Zuch, do you have anything else for us?
Nothing else. You got a bunch of good games. I mean, we're in the thick of it right now. Good games every weekend from here on out. Except maybe that like week before rivalry week where everyone kind of plays a crappy school. But yeah, I mean, just enjoy it. We're almost in November.
After this week, we're at the half. After this week, I think we're the halfway point.
Yeah.
Wow. Halfway through the regular season. That'll be crazy. Well, thank you for everyone for listening. As always, make sure to like and subscribe. Give us a follow on the Instagram. Everything's at Settled Down. Make sure to give at Takeover Sports. A follow to, been doing a lot of work with them. If you are in the Boise area and like to see local content, also go check out the new video on YouTube. Cody and Ryan and Sean went around checking out great tailgate scenes from the Boise State game. So it was an awesome video, some cool stuff. They check out some really decked out tailgates. But yeah, shoot us a like. Make sure you're subscribing on whatever you're listening to with us. And enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the games.